Amen. All right, Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. No doubt it's going to be a touchy and sensitive subject that I'll be preaching on. And even though it's a sensitive subject, it's still needful for us to take heed to. I've been in many churches across America. I've been in over 200 churches and across the United States. And it does not matter what part of the states I'm in, whether it's the Northwest, Southwest, Midwest, New England, East Coast, South, or whatever. And I see this time and time again. And I cannot begin to tell you how many heartbroken parents I'm meeting on the road. And they come up to me after the services and they ask me to pray for their children that are literally out in the world. And I can see the wrinkles and I can see the gray hair and I can see the hurt in their eyes. And I can see the grief and the heartache they're going through. And to be honest with you, I don't know what it's like because my kids are still home and, you know, so forth like that. I'm different. Some of you think that when the child's 18, that's it. I told my kids, I said, if you're 27 and you're living wicked, I'll come find where you're at and I'll beat you. You say, I can't believe that. Well, amen, just take it up with God, amen. But you know what? As long as I'm alive, I'm still their father, right? And I still got authority over them. And I said, you're not going to shame the name of Christ. You're not going to shame the name of Del Grande, amen? Amen. Amen. A good name is rather to be chosen. Isn't that true? All right. So I shocked some of you. Now you're awake, amen? But I, you know, that both parents are greatly affected when a child lives ungodly. And the father is stricken with grief and the mother with bitterness. And in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 25, notice what it says. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bear him. Ungodly children not only cause grief to their parents, but they also cause their parents to be very angry. Ever have a kid make you angry? At least three of you, the rest of you are liars, amen? One guy said this, he was an old Puritan, I think his name was Ralph Erskine or something, I forget, 1600s, and he said this, the more the wills of these parents are bent to have their children godly, the more they are displeased and provoked to anger by their sins. They cannot but think of them with anger, speak of them with anger, and look at them with anger. You got some kids out in the world right now, you know what you are? You're upset about it, right? If you're godly, you know what I mean? If you can, you know, if you keep the faith that says you're going to earnestly contend with the wicked, you're going to fight against them, Proverbs says. And you're going to be very upset about what they're doing. Now, how does this affect the marriage? I'll tell you right now, when your kids are doing wrong and they're out of your house, it causes trouble for both the parents. The father's not only grieved over the wayward child, but he's also grieved about the sorrow that his wife experiences. It's like you have a family reunion, and you got four kids, let's just say a hypothetical situation, four kids, right? And you got three doing right, and the one comes with the body piercings, the tattoos, you got a new girlfriend every week or every year, right? I mean, the whole family reunion was great except for this one. So I can't believe you're saying this. Well, like I said, I haven't only preached, it's the second time I've ever preached this. And I feel liberty to preach whatever God wants me to do here. But then the mother is not only troubled over the wicked child, but also for the grief her husband's experiencing over the wayward child. Therefore, the joy in the marriage that you're supposed to have and look forward to, retiring, all that, is dampened by a wayward child. And then what the parent does, the father blames the mother, or the mother blames the father, right? Or both parents don't blame each other, they blame God, and they get mad. Now, we know at times, parents are to blame, I said at times, bear with me, okay, for how their children turn out. We know the example that you could be the best parent and still have wicked children. You say, how do you know that? God the Father. Is he not the best father? Does he not have some wicked Christians, amen, by the name Christian, amen? I mean, you think about 1 Samuel chapter 8. Samuel was no doubt a man of God. And in verses 1 through 5, he said, look, did you see that I never taken a bribe? I never went after filthy lucre. I never did all these things. And he goes, and his children were wicked. He was a good man, but his sons were not good children. And there are parents who have devoted their children to God at birth or in the front of the church or whatever the case may be, and their kids still have turned out wicked. Am I right? Is this the truth tonight? You say, why am I saying all this? Because there's a couple of reasons why I want to bring this to your attention. And there's a few of these things just before the message, just an introduction here. Letter A, there'll be people outside of your home that will think that you never taught your children how to serve God. And I'm tired of these self-righteous pearlites from Tennessee that go around, okay? You know what I'm talking about, right? Michael Pearl? I didn't say all of his stuff's bad, okay? But I'm tired of the self-righteous attitude that if your children turn out wrong, it's your fault. I'm tired of hearing that. And you got people going around, and they're the most self-righteous Christians in the church. Look, all my kids are living for God. But all of them are Pharisees, and all of them are self-righteous, and none of them are making an effect for the cause of Christ, and none of them are winning souls to Christ. God hates pride. Amen. Just as much as somebody may be out there prostituting their body, God hates them both the same. And yet it'll bother you, and you know it's not true, that you know that you did the best you could in raising your kids, but it still bothers you to think about what they're thinking of you. Also, many parents beat themselves to death with the question. They say, where did I go wrong? And pastors, you know it, and counseling people, where did I go wrong? Where did I go wrong? You're forgetting to remember the child has a free will. We're not Calvinists. It wasn't predestinated for you to be a jerk. You just want to be a jerk. Right? Amen? So you cannot make your children do right, no matter how much you pray for them. As a matter of fact, you can beat them and they can still turn out rebels. And what I'm doing is I'm preaching tonight this message to you in hopes that maybe you know somebody, maybe you don't need this. Maybe it's not for you. Maybe you will need it down the road or I don't know why. Maybe it's just one married couple tonight going through this or maybe you know someone else. Give them a copy of the message. I'm hoping this message will be a help to all those parents who are grieving over their children. And I'm hoping that you youth that are being raised in a Christian home won't be these people that I'm talking about tonight. So I don't like you getting in my face. Don't worry. You go to a juvenile detention center, they'll say a lot worse things, amen? I met young kids in juvenile detention centers that were raised in a Christian home and knew better. You know what they did to the mom and dad? You know what happened eventually? Well, I already heard it all. I know it all. But wait till you grow up. I'll tell you right now, I believe without a shadow of a doubt, God will give you children worse than what you put your parents through. So how do you know? You reap what you sow. Ever read that before? So is your situation a rare case? Are there similar stories in the Bible of parents who also had children that caused them grief? Absolutely. Now, I'm going to preach to you a message titled tonight, What a Grief. What a Grief. I'm going to preach to you tonight, What a Grief. And we're going to look at some examples in the Bible. Look at Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. The first example is Adam and Eve. And the first thing I want to say about their son is that he was a perpetrator. Their son was a perpetrator, Cain. He was a murderer. A perpetrator means a murderer. And if you look in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. She thought that this was the promised seed. That's just because I got that man that God promised me. I'm the one that brought it forth, right? Yeah, but look at this. Look at later on. Look at verse 4. And Abel, he also brought the first things of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel unto his offering, but unto Cain unto his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now look down at verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Now before you jump all over Adam and Eve for messing up in the garden, you need to remember that God still clothed them and God still covered them. Now, I'm not saying they were saved by looking forward to the cross. I'm not like that, amen? Yes, these parents have sinned. Yes, these parents screwed up royally. But let me ask you here tonight, what parent here tonight is perfect? What parent here tonight has not sinned and done wrong knowingly, full well, they were going against the word of God? And now Eve was so excited. She said, I got a man from the Lord. I don't know about you. Remember the day your children were born? Now, I remember clearly. And I'll tell you, you never know how fast you age until you have kids, amen? And you're like, whoa, how old are you going to be? Wow, my kid's 11 years old. My oldest one is going to be 13 soon. I'm going, oh, God, even so, come Lord Jesus, amen? But I'm thinking to myself, I just remember him there. And I remember the hospital and where it was at and what happened. I mean, I remember all that. And I was so excited. I mean, it brought such great joy to my heart to see my children born. How about you, parents? Would you agree with me tonight? I mean, man, we were all excited. And her little bundle of joy all of a sudden one day turned to a big bundle of burden. Proverbs chapter 10 tells us in verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. This son that she was so excited to bring into the world was now nothing but a grief to her that bare him. And the foolish and the wicked child, what he does, he stomps out any joy you will ever have in your heart as a parent. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 21 says, he that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy. The very child that clings to your side like a little lemur, like a little monkey does at the zoo, is the very child that can one day turn up his heel against you and curse you and curse the day they were born and hate your guts. Isn't that horrible? My kids tell me, I love you, Dad, I love you, Dad, I love you, Dad. I said, we'll see when you leave home. That's where the real proof is, when they leave home. And sometimes women come up to my wife and I and they'll say, pray for me. We got women we pray for that God will open their womb, and they come up to me. And I got thinking after a while, maybe God is not opening someone's womb just to spare them the grief and the heartache they'll later have on in life. Someone was the mother of Joseph Stalin. Someone was the mother of Adolf Hitler. And I can guarantee you, the lady of Charles Manson's mother, I bet you no doubt they would have rather have not had children than to bring those beasts, those monsters into the world. So if you can't have your womb open and all that, thank God you won't have children that one day shame you and disgrace you and torment you your whole life. Now, I believe without a shadow of a doubt that they were taught how to sacrifice. So how do you know? Someone taught them, and they were the only parents around. So they knew how to sacrifice. Abel did at least, right? Cain did whatever he wanted to do. See, Cain chose his own way, it says, the way of Cain, when you read that book of Jude. Abel chose God's way. And one time a preacher said, this old Puritan writer said, we see sometimes trees of righteousness growing in the families of the wicked when briars and thorns grow up in the families of the righteous. Pretty profound. You know what Cain did? He killed his brother. He rocked his brother's brains out. He said, am I my brother's keeper? And he did not consider that this treacherous act would forever change the heart of his parents toward him. And no doubt in my mind, even though Cain did not care that he murdered his younger brother, it bothered his parents. And Cain brought down calamity on that household forever. Proverbs chapter 19 tells us about a foolish son. It's the calamity of his father in Proverbs 19:13. Unfortunately, I'm going to tell you this right now, the older corrupts the younger. You got an older child in your house that doesn't want to do right, put them out for the sake of the younger children. I told my son, I love you. I said, but if you're a bad example when you're 18, you're more than welcome to leave. I will not let you destroy your sister. I will not let you destroy your brother. See, where do you get that? Genesis 19, the older says, let's lie with our father like yesterday. Remember that? The older, younger, you better watch. I don't believe that. Well, that's because you love your children more than God. You got to put God first. And I must admit that they must have grieved his parents about the judgment of God upon him. No doubt they were fearful of Cain's eternal damnation that was awaiting him. And you say, preacher, where are you going with all this? Just bear with me. One did right. The other one did not. You say, yeah, that's profound. Yeah, so what? No, no, you don't understand what I'm saying. You can raise two children. One can serve God. One can live like the devil. Same house, same parents, same God, same Bible, same church. Live like the devil. Say, what are you getting at? Well, there's no guarantee your children will ever turn out right if you teach them the ways of the Lord. And I mean, you can teach your children to read the Bible. You can teach them how to pray. You can homeschool them. And I'm not knocking if you're homeschooling. But let me tell you something right now. Homeschooling is not the answer because the kids are still going into the world. Oh, I'm upset with you. Well, have at it. I'll tell you right now. I know kids that went to public school and are living for God today. Amen. See, here's what we've done. We take all our kids out of homeschool, right? I mean, out of public school, so there's no light. I know, this is so, I know, I understand. But I'm telling you that if homeschooling is the answer, why don't we have more children in our church? Why don't we have more 23-year-old married people? Why do we have such an age gap from 18 to 35 if homeschool is the answer? Yeah. You could bring them to church and they could still turn out wicked. As a matter of fact, did you know Cain only had his family? It wasn't environmental pressure. Right? It wasn't the circumstantial surroundings that got to him and ruined him because he, you know, grew up in the ghetto, you know. So you got no business talking like that. I grew up among them, okay? Man, I know what I'm talking about. I grew up in Philadelphia. I know what it's like, okay? You don't have to live like your surroundings. I mean, you choose to live like your surroundings. And Cain didn't have any outside influence, and I'll tell you right now, he turned out wrong because he wanted to turn out wrong. And Adam and Eve did not raise their child to be a murderer, but that is how he turned out. And just remember, as a person, you can raise your child to live right. They can still turn out wicked, and guess what? It's not always your fault. Sick and tired of self-righteous family guy preachers, you know, that always say you're always wrong. I'm sorry, man. I just want to beat them up, I guess, amen, or something. I know that was probably in the flesh. I'm sorry, amen. But I'm just tired of these self-righteous people. They get on my nerves, you know. They come up to you and they say, you homeschool your kids? And they always get on us. What curriculum do you use? Oh, get out of here, man, amen. You know where they're going at. You know the two they always talk about that's better than ACE? Bob Jones and a Becca. If you teach your kid anything less than that, you're a scum. Whatever. Amen. I don't want to get that. That's a freebie. That wasn't even my notes. Amen. All right. Genesis chapter 9. Amen. But you know what? Your son, you can raise a perpetrator. You can raise a murderer. All right. Now, Genesis chapter 9. I know the story here. I'm not going to get into Cain and so forth and Canaan and all that stuff and Ham. Let your pastor teach all that. But in Genesis chapter 9, I just want to bring your attention to something that happened here. And in verse 23, and Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah woke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brother. Now I know what you're thinking. Are you going to get it? No, I'm not going to go there. You're going to say, number two, we have a second group of parents, Noah and whoever his wife's name was, amen? If you know it, let me know. But Noah and his wife, and they were parents, and they had three children, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And they raised a son that was a pervert. Second point, a pervert. You say, what are you getting at? Noah lived for God. Noah was righteous. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He loved the Lord. Noah was a good example to his family. I didn't say, well, he got drunk. I understand all that. We can say about the different times and seasons and things that happened. I'm not going to get into a theological debate with you. Yet, all I know is this, that Ham did something wicked to his father. Whether it was his father's nakedness concerning his mother. Read that later on. Father's nakedness can also be the wife. Check that out later. Remember 1 Corinthians 5, somebody did something to. Check it out, Leviticus 18, Leviticus 20. I don't know which one it was, but all I know is that it was wicked. And parents will get angry at their children for not doing right. I'm fully aware of that. And no doubt Noah was angry and he cursed his son's seed because he couldn't curse Ham because God blessed him. Amen. Did God take this curse serious? Oh, yeah. God took this curse very serious. And the seed was the Canaanites. You say, what happened to the Canaanites? Well, they were wicked, and they were known for their perverseness. So the first incest we see is among the, right? You with me? Yeah. The Hamites, right? I don't mind making it up. Yeah. Sodom and Gomorrah were the inhabitants, right, of the Hamathites were there. It was first homosexual encounters we know about is with Hamites, right? I'm not making it up. I'm just talking about what the Word of God says. So you can see this, that their children, his children didn't turn out right. They were all perverts. Because God kept on telling them, don't do what the others do in the land of Canaan. Don't get my son a wife from the Canaan. Remember that Canaanites? He said, stay away from the Canaanites. Stay away from the perverts. Now, I said all that to say this. You can raise your children to be sexually pure, and they can still turn out to be a sodomite. I have known Christian parents. They got sodomite sons and lesbian daughters. Say, I can't believe that. They do. I'm not making fun of them. It could happen. You know? You can have a child that's addicted to internet pornography. Well, that's a scourge in the church anymore. Amen? You can have a son that grows up one day to be a pedophile and in prison. You can have a child get pregnant out of wedlock. And you know what you're thinking right now? I failed. It's not necessarily a sign of you being a failure. is a sign of your child failing to listen. You didn't raise them that way. Did you promote homosexuality? Did you promote pornography? No, parents, you didn't do that. But your child does it, it's their fault. You say, why am I saying all this? Noah, not kidding. I'm going to sound like a liberal saying this. Noah had his children literally separated from every facet of the world. So separated, so far from everything, man. I mean, listen, and you know what? And it was over a year long, man. And Ham saw the judgment of God, heard the banging on the door of the ark, the screaming, saw the babies floating in the water and the cripples there drowned. It's all that stuff. Knew God judged him for the perversion. And yet, what did he do? Still turned out to be a pervert. You can get so separated from the world. And look, I'm not going against what I said last night, but you can still have the world in your heart even though you're not in the world. And they survived the flood, and his son still turned out wicked, and Ham went into the ark the same and left the same. Separation does not always guarantee spirituality. And you can separate your children from the things of the world, but the world can still be in their heart. Let me just tell you this real quickly. The Lord gave me this. Spirituality is a byproduct of your love for the Lord. Not a list of rules and regulations that you impose upon yourself and others. You want to kill a church, I'll tell you exactly what to do. Set up rules and regulations that you can't even keep yourself, and legalism will kill a church. I didn't say no standards. I'm just talking about weird stuff. He was a pervert. Say, preacher, I got a daughter out in the world right now. I got a son out in the world right now living with some woman. Hey, you may have that, but you know what? You didn't raise him that way. You've been married. You've been faithful to your spouse. It's not your fault. It's their fault. I told my kids a while ago, I said, look, I hope you turn out right. I said, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to blame myself if you live wicked. Say, why? Doing the best I can. So I grew up in a bar at the age of 5 until I was 13 years old. No dad. Don't even know who he looks like. Left my mom when she was 6 months pregnant. Grew up on the welfare cheese, you know, the glows in the dark and the powdered milk that you can plaster walls like this. It'll stay up forever. Amen. So I tell my kids, look, I'm not a perfect dad because I didn't even have an example, but I'll tell you this, I'm doing the best I can, and you ain't going to tell me one day that you're doing wrong because you want to do wrong. Amen. Amen. All right, now, let's look at Genesis chapter 26. Here's another example. Isaac and Rebekah, they had a son. They had two sons, as a matter of fact. I know when I'm preaching tonight, it's a very serious message, but, you know, I don't have to yell and scream and stomp and, you know, like he said last night, and throw a fit and swing from the fan, but this is Bible, you know what I mean? And I'm not trying to be rude. You need Bible. You need, this is going to help you, you know what I mean? I'm not against getting excited for the Lord. I'm not against those who run around and preach. I'm not against that. If God's in it, praise the Lord. But you need someone that's going to help you if you got a child that's out in the world. Like as an evangelist, I'm to help the churches. And if I see something wrong with the churches, I'm kind of like a skilled surgeon, I guess you can say. I got to come in and maybe you don't see what's going on. I got to try to be a help to you. That's all. I know acts of grace. Some of you think I'm just so mean. I'm blunt. I'm not a man. I'm not a great radio host speaker. Yeah. All right. So I had to get that in there, brother. I don't have that golden voice, you know. All right. I know, bro. All right. All right, Genesis chapter 26, verse 34. I probably lost my offering. Okay, verse 34. And Esau was 40 years old when he took the wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mine unto Isaac and to Rebekah. Now let's look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. You know who I'm talking about next. It's Esau. And look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And we'll look at verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator or a profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Number three, Isaac and Rebekah, they had a son who was profane. Profane. Say, what does profane mean? Well, it means to violate anything sacred, or to treat it with abuse or irreverence or as contempt, or to profane the name of God. Say, what do you mean? He did not care about the things of God. Esau was not spiritual. He was sensual. He was earthly, he was devilish in his ways, and God hated Esau. Why? Because he hated the things of God. Now, you say, what are you getting at? You know, I'm really tired of seeing I preach youth meetings. Oh, I preach them. And I meet all different kinds of youth, you know. And they got this stinking attitude. I'm drugged to church, and I got to be made to read my Bible. My mother's always quoting scripture to me, and my dad's saying, grow up. Be thankful that you're not raising a house of prostitution. My mother prostituted herself to make ends meet. I'm not lying about it. I saw it. I'm not going to pollute your mind any further, amen? Here you are in a Christian home. My mom ate this. My mom ate this. Grow up. Be glad that you're in America, not being raised by some raghead who's going to beat you, sell you out at 11-year-old to a 40-year-old man in the Middle East. Sometimes Christian brats, I call them, they come in with an attitude. They come in, hey, how's it going? What's up, man? What's this? You need a spanking, boy, amen? Man, you young punk, don't you understand, man? You respect your elders, but you got people that just take an attitude. Come to church. They don't want to come. They don't come to the altar. They don't respect their parents. They don't respect the preacher. They're profane. They don't respect God. They don't care about the word of God. And my question is, are they saved? Are they saved? I don't know. Maybe they are. Maybe they're not. I don't understand. But I caused you. It'll cause you to grieve when your children love the things that God hates. You can raise your children to love God and fear God, and they can still turn out to be atheists. They can grow up to literally mock God and mock the Bible. Here they are. You say, did you read your Bible today? What for? What for? I tell you what, you better obey your parents for it'll be well with you. You want to live a long life? You say, oh, it's the Old Testament. Read Ephesians chapter 6 if you do read your Bible and know where it's at. I can tell you where it's at if you don't. So why are you like that? Because I'm tired of these Christians. You were raised in a Christian home. You are given more account one day in the judgment, amen, than I have and will. Man, would to God I was raised in a Christian home and had a mother that prayed and a mother that read me the Bible and loved me and sang the songs of Zion, said of Billy Joel and Elton John and all that stuff I grew up on. Here you are. Oh, you got to come that you got a sourpuss attitude. You got to sing hymns. Oh, how horrible it is for you. I feel so sorry for you. Say, what are you getting at? It grieves the children to hear their own children blaspheming God and talking about the preacher and talking about the saints and all these people are hypocrites. I'll tell you who's the biggest hypocrite. You youth that are acting like you're saved till you get out of your house and you're going to live like the devil. I don't like this kind of preaching. Don't worry about it. You may not come back tomorrow night, but at least you'll get this. You can leave church, and you know what will happen? Your child will never step in church again, so they are wheeled down in their casket. Bless God, I ain't ever coming to church. Here, who's the worst you ever meet? You ever meet them before? The tongue ring, you know, and the tattoos and all that. And yeah, I was raised in a Christian home and talking like Rocky, you know what I mean? Yeah. I grew up in Philly. I kind of know about Rocky. Man. So here you are. You know, what's up with you? Well, I'm saved, man. I just living with this girl or living with this guy and I'm doing this and that. They're the most biggest blasphemers and mockers ever. You say, what do you do? I get right on them and say, are you saved? Oh, they come unglued. Blankety blank, F you at this. But whoa. Wait a minute. Oh, I just asked you if you're saved. Why are you cursing me out? Whoa. You know what I'll tell you right now? You better check to see if you're saved. I'll tell you right now, they can grow up to be unthankful to God and unthankful for the life they were given. And they can grow up to be drunkards and they can frequent the rescue missions. They can grow up to be drug addicts and they can go in and out of the rehab clinics. I got parents telling me, my son's back in there for meth. What, raising a Christian home? He said, what do we do, brother? I said, put him out of your house. He's 35 years old. Put him out of the house now. He's 35. I mean, I'm not joking. Put him out. Well, we don't know where he'll go. I said, let God deal with him. Here's what happens. The parents get in the way of God chastening them. They keep taking them back, and they keep taking them back. So I love my children more than you, God, and I know what's right. I got a whole message on that. Whole message about that, the fugitive. By taking a fugitive on board. Jonah.
Yeah, amen.
That's a whole message in itself right there. But the children are out singing in the bars and the parents are at home sighing. The children are out in revelry and all that. Here's the parents at home wringing their hands. The children are out living wicked. The parents afraid that when the phone rings, oh, I hope it's not the cops or the morgue. And they hear a knock at the door. They don't know what. Man, it torments them. But we ask you, are you saved? Oh, yeah, I prayed when I was 5 years old. Oh, okay, that's good. Is there any fruit? You know, you love God. If any man love God, the same as known of him. You saved? I'm just asking. Amen? I'm not saying if you prayed to five, you didn't mean it, you get saved. But, you know, just examine yourself. Amen? You with me tonight? You still love me? Amen? I mean, is it the truth? Esau chose to refrain because he wanted to. And I know in your heart you want your children to live right. And living wicked is a choice of the child and not that of you. And I know as a parent it grieves you to see your children so disrespectful towards God. But you are not responsible for their actions. Once they leave home, you did your duty. And when they stand before the Lord, if they're saved, they're going to give an account. Absolutely. And last thing I want to say, and I'm done. Look at Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Listen tonight, you know what? I know it may bother you. You think, preacher, why is this guy saying this? It's kind of opening up scabs and wounds because I got a child out in the world. You don't understand what I'm getting at, parent. I'm on your side. I'm on your side. I'm trying to help you to stop whipping yourself to death for your kids who don't want to do right. See what I'm saying? I'm not casting stones at you and think I'm better than you. My kids aren't gone yet. I'm treading on this ground very lightly. You say, why? Devil hears it and goes, oh, yeah? You think you got it together? All my kids can go astray. I hope and pray they don't. Amen. I really beg God. But look at Luke chapter 15. You probably know the last example here. Well, look at verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey to a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks of the swine that eat, and no man gave on him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Last of all, I just want to talk about the prodigal's father. And I believe his son tonight was perturbed. 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 You know, the prodigal's father, I believe without a shadow of a doubt, was a good man. I believe the prodigal's father was a good man, but his son was not. And he wanted to leave home on a bad note. You know what I find? I think sometimes kids don't like their parents' rules. Would you agree? Now I'm old enough. I'm turning 18 years old, and I'm ready for the world. Really, are you ready for the world? You know, the Word of God talks about not being ready for even battle till you're 20, so I don't think you have any common sense till you're after 20.
Amen.
Can I get a witness for that? And all of a sudden, they want to leave home, and they're 18 years old, and they think they know it all, and whatever reason, and he just wanted to leave. And the son wanted his portion of his inheritance before the father died. Now, you can tell how quickly this young man cared for his father. And many wicked children care nothing for their parents' financial hardships. You know what? Let me warn you, and you can do what you want. If your child is not responsible and is not right with God, don't co-sign anything for them. I mean, you may have an exception, a house, a car, or whatever, but I'm talking about you better be very careful because there are parents that are bankrupt today because they stepped out on a limb for a kid who's not right with God. That child decides one day, I'm not going to pay no more. Guess who's holding the bag? You. Now you got two mortgages or three car payments or whatever the case may be. You better be careful. There are some kids that steal money from their parents. They really do. Now, as a father, I don't want my kids to leave home. Not right away. I don't mean like, you know, I'm still, you know, your mom's washing your laundry at 40, buddy. Forget it, amen. I'm not going to take you on my, you know, 50th anniversary. Get lost, amen. But you know what? I'm not in a rush to get my children out. And I don't believe his father was eager to do this, you know. Well, you say, how does this tie in for us today? It can happen to you. Let me tell you something. Mother, you love your kids? Mother, you love your kids? You know what? You can't stop them if they're bent on leaving. You can't. You can cry. You can plead. You can beg. You can hold. You can hug. You can kiss. You can pray and fast. Everything. Quote scripture. You can't stop them. You can't. I'm not trying to put you people on the spot. Amen. I'm just personable. Amen. It's the way it is. You can't stop them. If they're bent on leaving, they're going to leave no matter what you do or say. So you say, what are you getting at? Well, let them leave. Let them leave. You say, it ain't going to be easy. That's where God begins to work. Yeah. Let go and let God get a hold of that child that grieves you. See, I know that. Now, look, please let me a little bit of liberty to ad lib this, kind of think about this as a father. I bet you his father was praying for him. I know it's a parable, but just please, man, let's get a little bit more out of the Bible. Let's think about it, okay? I bet you that father was praying and said, now, God, I don't want him to leave. And he's gone. I did the best I could. At least, thank God, I still have one at home. But I did the best I could, Lord. You got to get a hold of him. You got to make him miserable. You got to bring him low because he's so stinking haughty and he's so arrogant, Lord. And you know what the father did? He prayed and prayed and prayed. You say, how do you know? Why do you think that, preacher? Because he was looking for him to come home. Woo! Praise God, amen. Say, what do you mean? Well, you know what? I can't say he was praying, but you look at the way of the life for the prodigal and how his life goes, you know that father's praying. I mean, that prodigal was living it up. He left haughty and rebellious when he left, but soon he was humbled and he was in a pig pen. And he left rich, but he ended up a beggar. And you know what? Because the parent got out of the way of the child that was bent on leaving home, God intervened. And God brought him to the pig pen. And you know what? This may happen in your case. And the father grieved immensely over his wayward son. But you know what I like about it? He welcomed him home. Say, what do you mean? Even though he stunk? I mean, hanging around pigs, you're going to stink like one, amen? And he stunk from his sinful living. The father embraced him. And the father kissed him. Now, here's another extreme that I see in our camp, Pastor Piet. The ones who will shun him forever longer than an Amish person would. Right? All right? They stink like him too, right? Amen? And you know what they'll say? You know what? You can never come back here. Listen, let me just tell you this real quickly. Make sure the gate door swings both ways so they can come back home. Just make sure that you're not so quick and eager. Bolt the door, change the locks. Praise God, they're gone. You know what the father did? He forgave his son. But he only forgave him, though. Listen to me very carefully. He said, Father, forgive me. You say, when am I supposed to take them back in my house? When am I supposed to have them? When they ask for, when they repent and ask for forgiveness. You are not obligated to take them back in when they say to you, you're, tell them, you're my, you're, nah, nah. You haven't yet learned, go back to the pig pen. You may be a grieving parent tonight, but you're not alone. There's plenty more examples in the Bible. There's plenty of examples outside the church. There's plenty of examples in the church. Did you know even lost people's kids turn out wrong? You know, did you know that if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, one of the things that really, really frustrates me about that book is that, now bear with me, I'm talking about from the fleshy point of view, that it happens to the righteous as well as the unrighteous. One event happeneth to them all. I just got done doing devotions for, I don't know, about a year with my kids on Ecclesiastes, reading a few verses a day. We just finished up, what, about a week ago. And you know what? About 2 weeks ago. And it's just like, man, God, you must be kidding. Now, the Lord knows what he's talking about. You say, what do you mean? You know what you got to do to parent tonight? Go on and live for God. Amen. Even if your child chooses to do wrong. You know? Your faithfulness, like the prodigal's father, may one day bring your child home. You know what? No doubt in my mind. The prodigal said, I know where to find dad. He'll be in church. I know where to find dad. He'll probably be at the kitchen table with his coffee reading his Bible. I know where to find mom. She'll probably be by the bedside praying for me. You know what? I know I'm ad-libbing. Just bear with me. But that's where your child ought to find you when they come back home. Would you stand tonight? Would you bow your head? Here's the invitation. I know this is a... I know I'm pretty blunt, pretty direct, and if I offended you in any way, in word or deed or whatever, God, man, you please forgive me, people, amen? I'm not a man of many words, and I'm not a great orator. But I just tell you tonight, if you would bow your head and close your eyes, I'm talking about what a grief. Some of you youth got a rotten attitude tonight. Some of you parents are doing the best you can. You know what? What you got to do is give them the God. Give them the God. Give them the God. Nothing more you can do. Adam and Eve's son was a perpetrator. Noah's son was a pervert. Isaac and Rebekah's son was profane. The prodigal son was perturbed. Let me ask you now, you have a child who's gone astray. I'm not asking for a show of hands. I'm not asking that at all. Maybe you have a child right now who's gone astray or going astray, or maybe you have a grandchild who's out in the world. Let me ask you right now, would you pray for the child? Right now, would you pray for the child? If God has spoke to you parents tonight, listen to me. Listen, you may have a child right now in your home at 16 years old going astray. You know what you can do? Pray for them right now. Pray for them. Would you pray for them? I'm challenging you parents tonight. Listen, you got a son out in the world who's 30 years old living like the devil. Why don't you come pray for him? Maybe you got a grandson. Pray for them. Maybe you know someone else whose child is not doing right. Would you pray for them? Look, you want to come to the altar? Come. If you don't, you can pray there. I'm not mad at you. I'm not trying to drag you and play with your emotions. But if God spoke to you, God knows you got a child out in the world. You need to pray for them.